Hello, everybody. This is your host, Copeland Number One, and you are listening to Black News here on the Black Talk Radio Network. Just a quick show note. I am going to change this show from the title of Black News to The Brutal Truth, because I've done a few of these now, and I see that I'm not so much focusing on news as much as I am just on my thoughts and opinions about things. But the idea is that, you know, I'm still going to do it in under 20 minutes. So it's meant to be real quick and precise and to the point, just giving you my thoughts. So from here on out, it's not Black News anymore. It's The Brutal Truth, because that's exactly what it is. It's The Brutal Truth. All right, so let's get right into it. Before I get into some of the, you know, what I saw in the news today that caught my eye, I just want to say that I just got back from a funeral. And the person who passed away was someone that was very influential in my life. He was a Black man. You know, I grew up with my father, and you know, my father was a real father to me, and everything I know about being a man, for the most part, I got from my father. And that's very, very unusual as a Black person, because a lot of Black boys do not have their fathers around. However, not only did I have my father around, but I also had this individual around as well. And, you know, when I would go visit my, he was the father of my really good, you know, of my really good friend. And whenever as a kid, I would go visit him, he was like kind of like a second father. He always had good advice to give, and very positive. He was a very positive, strong Black man. And that's very, very, very unusual, because most of our men are in prison, or they're not doing too well, as all Black people are not doing too well, regardless of whether or not we want to admit it. But anyway, so I was at the funeral, and I found myself thinking about culture, Black culture. You know, if you've listened to any of the episodes of The Barbershop in the past, culture is what you do. It's what a people do. What a people, you know, how a people, everything a people do, that's what culture is. So I'm in the funeral, and my mind is going, and I'm thinking about culture, what people do, specifically what Black people do. And take the funeral, for instance. You know, counter racism is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. Every thought, speech, action that you take, it's either countering racism or it's not. Okay, so I'm at the funeral, and I'm thinking about the funeral that we spent on, you know, for my father. And I'm thinking about the funeral today. I'm thinking about funerals in general. What goes on at a funeral? Funerals, how much do they cost? I mean, funerals can cost $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. The last time I checked, most Black people do not have the luxury, do not have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 just laying around. You come from a history of enslavement in modern times, and that history has not been rectified. So you do not have $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 just to waste. All right, now keep that in your back pocket. So funerals cost anywhere from $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. They can be cheaper than that, but they can get really pricey. And a lot of Black people are spending this kind of money on funerals. So what are you getting for $20,000, $30,000, $40,000? What goes on at a funeral? Well, I mean, I've been to too many funerals. I don't like going to funerals. I've been to too many. But generally, this is what happens, especially if it's like a Baptist funeral. You know, if it's Baptist that's doing it. So you arrive at the funeral home or, you know, the church. Man, everyone lines up and everyone gets to go, especially, you know, if it's an open casket. You go up to the casket and you look, and people comment, whether it be aloud or to themselves, they comment on how the body looks. They did a good job. Or they'll say out aloud or to themselves, oh man, they didn't do too good on this one. And then you go on and you sit down. So you pass the body, you look at the body, and everyone's looking, All right. And then you go sit down. And then someone gets up and they start talking stuff from the Bible. And, you know, usually there's some songs and people are screaming and yelling and shouting, you know, in agreement. And then you have the family that's mourning and they're upset. They're crying. That goes on. And you have some motivational speakers that get up and they talk about how wonderful the person was and everyone nods in agreement. And then there's some jokes that's cracked, you know, about how funny the person was and everyone is in agreement. And all this stuff is all fine and dandy, but just stay with me. All right. And then, you know, you look around the funeral and there are flowers everywhere. Very expensive, by the way. Flowers everywhere. The place is looking all. Well, I mean, some people would describe it as pretty. But I don't like the colors that's associated with funerals. And everyone has to wear black. It comes off as really depressing. You know, just sad, depressing. Everyone's, you know, not everyone, but, you know, a lot of sadness. But in there you get some laughter because, like I said, somebody, you know, people are getting up and they're reminiscing about the person that's passed on. And a lot of times there are jokes included in that. And everyone, you know, and it provides a levying for the ceremony and it gives people an opportunity to laugh. All right. So we've looked at the body. We've sat down. We've heard some songs and we've shouted and we've yelled. And then there's some crying going on and some laughing. Then after that, you know, because while all this is going on, you know, you have, I guess, the master of ceremonies. I don't know what the official title would be. Continuously coming up to the microphone saying, all right, well, you know, we got the Ellis family coming in at 3:00. So we got to get up out of here within 30 minutes. You know, you got that going on. All right. Because the Ellis family, they paid their $20,000 too, their $30,000. And they want their time as well. All right. So, you know, you already have a stressed out situation. And then to add further stress to that, you got someone coming to the microphone telling you, all right, we need to hurry this shit up because we got someone else behind us. And, you know, we need to make time for them because it's all fair. I mean, they pay for the time to be there. So you want to be respectful. All right. But there's a deeper issue to this and I'm going to get to it. So then once all the singing is done, everyone's looked at the body. Everyone's laughed a little bit and told stories. Now it's time to go and it's time to actually bury the body. So everybody gets up. You know, you have some, they call them pallbearers. You know, they dressed up in their little suits. They go up there in a very orderly manner and they three line up to the casket on one side, on the left side, and three more on the right side. And they pick it up and they take it out to the big fancy limousine that's waiting out in the front. And then the family follows and everyone else follows and everyone else is talking, chatting with each other, you know, catching up, whatever. And then everyone goes to the cemetery. And then at the cemetery, you know, you have some nice pleasantries. Last of the pleasantries said about the individual before the individual is placed in the ground. And then everyone is commenting on how beautiful a day it is and how nice everything turned out. And, you know, are you going to the ceremony? Are you going to the ceremony after the burial? And everyone's trying to figure out where to go. And then after the body's placed in the ground, everyone goes off to the last part of the activity, which is you're going to eat and you're going to spend time with the family. Now, that's pretty much about the gist of it. The funeral. Remember what I said just a minute ago. Culture is what you do. So funerals, how you bury your dead, how any people bury their dead, it's what they do. Now let's examine funerals. We just talked about what goes on at a funeral and how much it costs. Now I said counter-racism is a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. At some point, we have to ask ourselves, is spending money on a funeral, is it worth it? Because the big question is, well, what's the result? What's the final result? What do you get from a funeral that you can't get from just inviting people over to your house for a full day and having a meal prepared, you know, having a meal prepared for them? And if you really think about it, nothing really, nothing that's worth $20,000-$30,000, nothing worth stressing the family out over. You see, $20,000-$30,000, that can be used to start a business. That can be used towards someone counter-racism education. That can be used to put in savings for a rainy day so that when something shitty happens to a black person in the family, in the system of racism, white supremacy, there's some type of protective cushioning there. $20,000-$30,000, that can go a long way in helping a black person with some problems that may or may not come in the system of racism, white supremacy. Counter racism, 24 hours, 7 days a week. Your complete thought, speech, and action is either geared towards countering racism or it is perpetuating racism. Being in debt is perpetuating racism. And like I said, most black people don't have no $20,000-$30,000 to be spending on anything like that. You know, so, you know, to use whatever it is you're getting from the person's passing on a funeral, I believe is subject to questioning if we're talking about countering racism, if we're serious about countering racism. You know, taking care of the dead shouldn't have to cost anything. It really shouldn't. The funeral home, the funeral business is a big, big business. It's a $1 billion business. And I think it would be wise for black people to collectively examine this portion of what we do. It ain't nothing to just take the body and, you know, put it on some type of a nice platform somewhere, you know, with some straw. How they used to do in the old days, set it on fire. You know, you can get some flowers or whatever and get it on some water or something like that. And, you know, you can have a real nice ceremony for little or nothing. And then send the person on their way. And then you don't have to worry about no debt. You don't have to worry about no casket. Because in my estimation, all this stuff is really unnecessary. The person is dead. You know, you can, and you don't have to spend $20,000 to have a nice ceremony. You don't have to spend $30,000 to get people's accounts of how great your loved one, how great he or she was. You don't need that. You don't need to spend that money for that. If you want that, you can just have something at your house and people will come out of respect for you. See, it's a waste. It's a waste. And people are fooled into thinking they have to do these things. And in my estimation, people are taken advantage of. That's really what it is. You know, this is a very, very cold, nasty system. And even people that are grieving from the loss of a loved one, even still, they are subject to racism, white supremacy. You are subject to racism. You can't even grieve without being subject to racism, white supremacy. No black person should be spending any kind of money like that. But yet you are pressured into doing so because you're told it's the appropriate thing to do. And then you're charged an arm and leg for it. And it's probably not in the best interest to fighting and into practicing counter racism. It just isn't. Culture is what you do. Everything we do needs to be examined. Every single thing, every little inch of what we do collectively as a people needs to be examined. And how we take care of our dead is just one piece of that. Now, how do I know that everything we do needs to be examined? Well, because you have to look at the result. What's the result of so-called black culture? Has it solved our biggest problem? You see, you're doing something. What are you doing? You're constantly solving problems. Every single day you wake up, you have problems to solve. You have to figure out how you're going to get to work. But before you get to work, you have to figure out what you're going to wear to work. You know, then you have to figure out Okay, am I going to shower or am I not going to shower? Because some of us don't shower every day. I know it. How do I know that? Because I've literally smelt people at my job and I've said to myself, that person must not have showered last night. So I know everyone is not showering every single day. But at some point, you get up and you have to make that decision. Am I going to shower or am I not going to shower? There's a problem. The problem is your body odor. See, that's a problem. You have to solve that problem. Some of us don't take cars to work. Some of us take the metro, the public transportation. You have to figure out, okay, so, you know, will I get to work? Will I get to my destination faster if I go to bus stop A, or will I get there faster if I Uber to the train station and then just take the train on in? It's a Thursday. Usually the roads are a little bit more jammed on Thursday, and it takes me longer to get to the bus stop I need to get to in my car, or however you're getting there, as opposed to going to the train station. But getting to my job from the train station, the distance is a little bit longer than just taking the bus on in to work. But on Thursdays, I have to account for traffic. See, these are problems. You're always solving, what am I going to eat for dinner? What am I going to eat for lunch? What am I going to eat for breakfast? You're always solving problems. So going back to culture and what you do, culture is what you do. And human beings are primarily concerned with solving problems. Your culture has not solved your problem. What is your problem? Your problem is white people, period. And I advise you, if you have not listened to The Barbershop, you just go to www.cobrasinaction.org and you listen away. I think I've done like 20 some episodes now, and I'm going strong. But listen to The Barbershop, understand racism, white supremacy, what it is. You know, that's beyond the topic for this show today, The Brutal Truth. But just know this, if you don't take away anything except one thing, take this away. That is that culture is what you do, and that black people need to examine everything that we do collectively as a people. Why? Because what we've been doing, what we call our so-called black culture, it has not worked for us. How do I know it hasn't worked? Because it hasn't solved our problem. What is our problem? Racism, white supremacy, or just in layman's terms, white people. Moving right along, and I'm going to finish up here really fast. Give me 1 second. Come on, iPhone. Come on. So I was reading an article on CNN. I'm not going to bore you with the whole article, but basically, in part of the article, it touches on the exchange that your president, Donald Trump, had with a member of the Congressional Black Caucus last week. And so I'm going to jump down here. So it says his request at the same news conference. This is the news conference where Trump had the confrontation with the CBC member, the Congressional Black Caucus member. His request at the same news conference that a black female journalist arrange a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus was all kinds of awful. It was a display that could be deemed sexist, bullying, and insulting. But the racism in it was likely more a matter of Trump's lack of education and narcissism than hatred. Now, that's all I need to read with that. You see, I don't know. I suspect that a white person wrote the article, but I don't know. It could be a black person. But CNN is a white media outlet. It's a white news organization. Make no mistake about it. And this is an example of this organization practicing racism. I do not believe for 1 second that white people do not understand racism. Look at the language here. You see, you know, when this is very important, because this is how racism is perpetuated. White people give this idea as if, oh, they don't know what racism is, or anybody can be a racist, and, you know, equal opportunity for people being racist. Anyone can be a racist. Certainly not us. We're not the guilty ones. But what criminal tells on him or herself? Come on, people, you know, you have to put your thinking caps on. Listen to this. But the racism in it was likely more a matter of Trump's lack of education. White people are not uneducated about racism. They came up with the concept of race. White people, the most minimal understanding of racism from a white person is this, is that white people are supposed to be in their thought, speech, and action superior to black people, period. Has nothing to do with hate. Superiority is not synonymous with hate, you see, but hate is thrown in there because anybody can hate. So see, the idea is to make racism something that anyone can be. Racism, and that is not the case. Racism is very specific. The only people that are racist are white people. That's the whole reason why you're black. You did not classify yourself as black. You were classified as black. White people did the classifying. Why? Because white people tell you what to do. How is that? How do white people tell you what to do? Because white people control everything. They control everything that matters. They control the means of production. They control how you get paid. They control whether or not you have a job in the first place, what you can do. They control to a large part the skills you're able to acquire, how tough it is for you to get those skills, and whether or not for a lot of people it's even realistic that they can get those skills in the first place. I'm talking about higher education, going and getting a bachelor's. How logical is that? If you're looking for full employment to require people to have a bachelor's degree, and in many cases now you need a master's degree. Do you think a lot of black people have $100,000 to send two and three of their kids to go off and get a bachelor's, to go off and get a master's? I don't think so. Of course not. And do you not think white people understand this? You don't think white people know this? How are white people going to school? Many times they are pulling from generational wealth. Do niggas have generational wealth? That's my next question. White people know that you do not. Common sense dictates, oh, well, you know, these people come from a legacy of slavery. Of course, and Jim Crow. I mean, common sense dictates that, of course, you do not have. Most black people don't have no generational wealth. You ain't had enough time to develop generational wealth, fool. And on top of that, most black people, by design, don't even understand best practices in this system. Why? Because this system was not designed for niggas. You see, they said, okay, slavery is not in our interest anymore. Black people were freed. Black people, and by the way, white people did not free black people. Again, this is beyond the scope of this show, but white people did not free black people. Black people had to put in work to free themselves. We did work in the field. Because I keep saying the South, the North, they were getting their asses whooped in the Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, it was the last thing he wanted to do was put guns and provide military training to some niggas that had been slaves, that had been deemed as less than. Why did he do that? Because they were desperate. Black people earned their freedom. Don't you ever think that some cracker freed black people, free niggas. That did not happen. Hell, we had some self-respect in the past. Now, that being said, white people are not confused about racism. This is a lie. White people are concerned with maintaining their superior status over you. That's been the pattern, and that will continue to be the pattern. When are you going to understand that? This language, talking about some Donald Trump may not be educated about racism. Yeah, he's educated about racism. He's educated in the sense that he knows he's superior over you. He knows that you are inferior as a black person. He knows that black people are inferior. Black people were not meant to be equal with white people. Look at the language of the Constitution. You were 3/4 a person. Now, why do you think that thinking has really changed? And if so, what changed it? Why? Because Dr. King made some I Have a Dream speech. Oh, you think that moves the soul of crackers? Oh, yeah, because he had some grand speech somewhere in Washington, D.C., and 100,000 niggas came out to listen, and it was broadcast on CBS and ABC and NBC and all the little cracker news stations. And, oh, yeah, everyone, oh, there was some nice songs that were sung. And then, you know, I'm sure you had some the famous rockers of the day, of their famous rockers of the day. Maybe Bob Dylan was there, you know, playing his little banjo or whatever the hell he plays, singing his songs. Of being together and black people and white people being the same, blah, 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 blah. And then going off to his big castle somewhere in the hills while all the miserable niggas go to their projects in the ghetto. That's right. In the ghetto. That's right. That's how I said it. But what do you think that changed the mindset and the thinking of white people towards you? Nigga, they referred to you as three-fourths a person. Nigga... I don't see, you know what, we're fooling ourselves. Let me continue on. Trump's lack of education and narcissism than hatred, but the racism in it was likely more a matter of Trump's lack of education and narcissism than hatred. Racism is not hatred. Yes, there are some people that hate, there are some white people that hate that are racist, absolutely. But racism is not synonymous with hatred. A white person does not have to be a KKK member to be a racist. When are you going to understand that? Because it seems like the standard for someone being a racist is that they have to have used the word nigga in referring to black people, or they have to be someone wearing some kind of a sheet or something. And what I'm saying to you is that no, racism is the belief in the superiority of one race over all other races. That's all racism is. In that, can you have hatred? Absolutely. There are some white people that hate the notion of some nigga looking at their white women and mixing with their white women and destroying their so-called beautiful skin, which dictates that they are superior over you. There's a population of white people that hate that. And because when black mixes with white, blacks have the dominant gene because the baby is a baby of color. You know, the people that think they're superior, some of them, they can't stand that. That's the biology, that's the reality, that when black mixes with white, the child is a child of color. They can't stand that. They can't stand that they can't they can't continuously recreate their image when they mix with non-white people. That makes them sick. Some of them. That makes them that's sickening to some white people, and that brings about hate for some white people. This is where the KKK comes from. You know, read some literature from the KKK. And their biggest gripe is mixing. They can't stand the thought of niggas mixing with white people and producing nigger children. They can't stand that. Okay? So there are some white people that hate black people that are racist. However, you do not have to hate black people in order to be racist. If you classify yourself as a white person, my friend, you are a racist. What the hell is a white person? What is that? Because even when you look at that idiot Trump, his skin color is not technically white. What are they referring to when they call themselves white? The white race. They are referring to themselves as the white race. So if you're the white race, then you are admitting that you are a racist because you are classifying yourself as a race. White people classify themselves as white. Black people do not classify themselves as black. You were told that you are black and you've adopted it like you've adopted everything else. I look at the diets of black people. You have they call it soul food. And again, this is in alignment with culture. Culture is what you do. What is it? What do black people do in the kitchen? A lot of it is nothing but just diabetes and heart attacks waiting to happen. Now, a lot of black people are proud of their so-called black diets. But see, this is a response to your enslavement. Because as a slave, you were given the scraps and you had to make sugar out of shit. Now, in 2017, we are still making or attempting to make sugar out of shit. Culture is what you do. And what black people are doing in the kitchen is literally killing other black people. It really is. You walk around any urban center in the country, you look at the black people, many of them are fat, not a shape, depressed. A lot of that comes down to the diet, a diet that has not seriously been thought about. Why? Because so many black people wonder, I'm holding on to black culture. It's our culture. Well, we don't do that in our culture. We don't think about preparing our foods healthy and lowering the grease in our culture. Well, why not? Because that's just not what we do. Well, maybe you need to think about changing and doing something different, especially if it's not working. But that word, black culture, black culture is a response to you being classified as black and being mistreated. That's all black culture is. It's not anything to be proud of. Not at all. Develop a culture that counters your problem. Develop a culture that counters white people. 24 hours, 7 days a week. Any self-respecting black person will be concerning themselves with completely thinking, speaking, and acting in a way that counters racism, white supremacy. No ifs, ands, buts about it. No in between. Maybe I'll counter racism, white supremacy on Monday. And then on Tuesday, maybe I'll watch Scandal or whenever the hell it comes on. And then on Saturday, I'll take another break and go out and shake my ass at the club. And then on Sunday, I'll go and sing Negro spirituals. And then on Monday, I'll think about countering racism, white supremacy again. It don't work like that. When are you going to realize it does not work like that? Either you're going to counter white people 24 hours, 7 days a week, or you're not, and you will die. Because that's ultimately what's going to happen. There don't have to be no black people. Black people do not have to, in the Western Hemisphere, the people that are classified as black do not have to be in existence. I keep saying, I've said this many times on the barbershop, whole peoples have died off before. That has happened in the past, and I suspect that it will continue to happen. And there doesn't have to be a so-called black people. We don't have to exist. And there's not a guarantee that we will exist, that we will be in existence 200, 300 years from now. There really isn't. So the takeaway from today's show on The Brutal Truth is that you better start examining what it is you're doing 24 hours, 7 days a week. Examine your so-called black culture and see that what I'm saying is true. It's a shitty culture. Why is it shitty? Because it has not solved your problem. It hadn't even come close to solving your problem, because white people are continuously whooping black people's ass and stomping a mud hole in black people every single day. And your culture has not come up with any answers to check them. Black culture is shitty. It's time that we collectively reexamine everything that we do. Every moment in the day of what we do needs to be examined, and we need to come up with something better. Hey, this is an exciting opportunity for us. You get to create your culture, because black culture has not been any serious thought about truly creating a so-called black culture that can truly work for us. There has not been any serious thought at a serious level on that at all since we've been here in the toilet bowl we know as the United States of America, in the toilet bowl that we call the so-called West, the Western part of the world, the West, the New World, whatever. So we need to think about culture, what we do, and we also need to make sure that we are aware of the language that is around us, how white people are speaking about racism. They are confusing people. What I just read from this CNN article is nothing but confusion. It makes it so that anybody can be a racist, and racism is not hate. This is another, because anybody can hate. I know black people that hate white people. They can't stand white people. That's not racism. That's just a victim responding to his or her victimization. That's not racism. Racism is very specific. Racism articulates how white people have and continuously mistreat niggas. That means you. And to be really accurate, it articulates how white people treat all non-white people. That's really what it comes down to. White people are concerned about themselves. They always have been, and they always will be. They look at themselves as special, and they look at themselves as manifest destiny. That's a concept from white people. They are still practicing manifest destiny. Wherever they need to spread, that's where they spread. They don't give a shit who they run over in the process of spreading. Why? Because white is right and everything else isn't. So you better understand white people. Or like I said, if black people don't start understanding white people, there won't be no black people. Black people will be dead. We'll all die. Period. All right. This has been the episode of The Brutal Truth. I'm your host, Cobra Number One. I think I'll be back tomorrow. You all make sure you visit cobrasinaction.org and make sure you visit blacktalkradionetwork.com. Please donate to the blacktalkradionetwork.com. Have some self-respect, people. See, there's that self-hate again. You have somebody that's working 24 hours, 7 days a week to try to help out in the entertainment category of human activity, to spread positive propaganda, to try to get you to do something about your condition. This person should not be struggling. Black Talk Radio Network should not be struggling. Black Talk Radio Network should be on the lips of every black person in this country. Every black person should be aware of Black Talk Radio Network and should be listening and should be engaging. However, this is not the case. And I believe that's because this is evidence of our self-hate, of our inherent self-hate of ourselves. It makes me sick. So I'll be back tomorrow. I'll try to be back tomorrow. Till then, take care. Have a good one.